Today's Shir is Masechta Zvachim Daf Chaf Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. Iboilehu, Tumamash Toil Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. As Rashi explains, the Gemara's question is, if a Kohen did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, and afterwards his hands became Tamei, will they disqualify the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that was previously done? The Mefarshim discuss, how is it possible just for somebody's hands to become Tamei? And they explain, as the Mishnayis say and say the Taharis, that hands, yesh tumah liyadayim, there are cases that the hands become Tamei. But the rule is, ain tumas yadayim b'migdash. Those rules don't apply in the base of Migdash. And therefore, what is the case, they try to understand, that the Gemara is referring here, that somebody's hands became Tamei, and we want to know what does that do to the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So I saw two approaches in the Mefarshim. One approach I saw in the Mefarshim is, even though I just quoted the rule, Ein Tumas Yadayim B'Migdash, the hands that become Tamei in the base of Migdash, there is no such thing as hands becoming Tamei in the base of Migdash, that is only if they touch something in the base of Migdash proper. But if somebody's standing in the Azara and he stretches his hands outside of the Azara, there it's possible for the Yadayim to become Tamei. That's one approach I saw. Another approach, it's a Machlokes Rishonim, and those, according to those Rishonim, that's the case that the Gemara refers to. Other Mefarshim I saw explain that everybody is in agreement that if a Kohen touches Pigul or Nicer, his hands become Tamei. And that is the case of our Gemara's question. A Kohen did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and then his hands became Tamei. And the Gemara's question is, Ma Shatoil Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, how does that affect the previously done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Im Timtzalayim, even if we will argue, as we discussed at the end of the previous year, Yitzilay Pasla, that just because a Kohen leaves the Azara, it doesn't necessarily affect the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, the Gavra Chazi, there's nothing that happened to the Kohen himself other than him walking out. Aval Hocha, in this case, the Gavra Loi Chazi, the person is Tamei, the Kohen became somewhat Tamei, Asuch Masach Datei. That certainly causes a Hesach Adas, and as we discussed in the previous year, the main point here in our Gemara, when we speak about is the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim still effective or not, is Hesach Adas, and here certainly a Such Masich Datei. Oy Dilma, or it could be argued, Kivin the Kader Chazi, a person whose hands become Tamei, the halach is all that's required is that he put his hands into the mikvah. So this Kohen knows that it's fairly easy for him to become Tar again. So Dokle, that causes him to be careful for Masich Datei, and he doesn't have Hesach Adas, and therefore his Kiddush Adayim Raglayim does not expire. Tashma, so the Gemara brings a raya from the following Braisa. Braisa says, Kiddush Adav Raglov, he did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, v'nitmu, and then they become Tamei, and again, as Rashi explains, the hand becomes Tamei, the Braisa clearly paskins Matbila, he has to dip his hands into the mikvah, immerse his hands in the mikvah. However, there's no need to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again. So says the Gemara, clearly the question that we began today's shiur with, Nitma Yadav, if his hands became Tamei, what does that do to the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? Certainly, Lemi Boylan is not a question. They certainly have no effect on the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Rather, says the Gemara, Keep me by long. What is the question? Nitma kol gufay. If his entire body became Tamei. And now the question is, Nitma kol gufay, does he have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again? And as the Mefarshim asked, we learned the Gemara the other day, that Kiddush Adayim Raglayim has to be right before the Avoida. There's not supposed to be any Levisha, any putting on, any Beged, after Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So what's the Gemara's question? If he became Tamei, he's going to have to go to the mikvah. So that, and he has to undress to go to the mikveh. So soon that disqualified the kiddush yadayim reglayim. Say to mefarshim that even though we learned the halacha, the lechatchila kiddush yadayim reglayim should be the last thing done before the avodah, and he should be dressed in the big day kahuna prior to that, but the yevet it's not makif. And that's why the Gemara's question is why what happened in that case. Ask the Gemara, kogufay, if we're referring to a case where he became entirely tamei, typically the answer should be obvious. Kiven the boy lemeved herev shemesh. As we've learned so many times, somebody who becomes tamei has to go to the mikveh. But there is no case midaraisa where somebody becomes tamei and just goes to the mikveh and he's fine. He has to have herev shemesh. And again, using the concept that we've been using already for the second shiur, that issue is not the tumah. The issue is the Hesach Hadas. So somebody got Tamei this morning, of the kind that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim this morning, and then he got entirely Tamei, and he has to go to the mikveh, he has to wait for the evening anyway, for Herev Shemesh. Certainly it's way too long that we should be not concerned about Hesach Hadas. There's certainly going to be the Hesach Hadas. And if we know certainly that there's a Hesach Hadas, there is no question that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim must be repeated. Kiven the boiler mevet herev shemesh, since herev shemesh is required, says the Gemara, asuchi maseich datis. What's your question? Answers the Gemara, kigoin, it's referring to a situation, dit misam plishkis chama. He didn't get tamei in the morning, and go to the mikveh in the morning, and have a whole long day to wait. It happened all right before shkia, and therefore there's no hesach adas, and the question is very much in order. So what is the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is, if a kohen becomes tamei, did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, became Tamei, goes to the mikveh, and it's all, at the end of the day, will he, after going to the mikveh, need to have another Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim or not? Toshma. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that we actually learned at the end of yesterday's shiur. The brisa says Parah. When it comes to the avoid of the Parah Aduma, Rav Chiya Yosef, Omer, Mekadosh B'Klisharis B'Fnim, the Kohen, does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in a klisharis in the base of Migdash? V'yoytz, and then he leaves the Azara. For as we discussed many times, the avoida of the Parah Aduma is primarily done outside of the Azara. It's primarily done on Hara Mishcha. It's primarily done on Hara Zaysim. But Rav Chiya Yosef says, as we learned yesterday, the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is still done in the Azara. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, I feel b'chutz, the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim of the Kohen doing the avoid in the Parah Aduma could be done outside of the Azara. It could be done, I feel b'kli choyl. It could be done even not in a kli sharis. I feel b'kiddush l'cheretz, even an earthenware bowl. Now makes the Gemara its point. The Parah. The Kohen who does the avoid of the Parah Aduma, the Aloch is, and we've learned this Gemara, many places, you look on the side of Masoreh Shashatz, you see how many places it's mentioned in Shas, the Temuya Metaminan Lay. The halacha is that the Kohen who does the avoida, the paraduma, we specifically make him Tamei. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, Metamin Hoya Kohen ha Sarifis Apara. The Kohen who did the avoida with the paraduma, we deliberately made him Tamei. And then Matbilan Isai, and then we immediately take him to the mikveh. And then we allow him to do the avoida of the Parah Aduma. Why? We wanted to show that the tzedakim were wrong, as we discussed. The Torah uses the words regarding the Kohen who does the avoida of the Parah Aduma. V'hiza hatar ala tamei. Hatar, we learned the Gemara, miklal shu tamei mikara. He's not a person who's purely tar. Who is that individual? The individual is a tefil yoyim. He became tamei. He needs to go to the mikveh. As we just said a mamish a minute ago, he has to wait herev shemesh. Don't wait for herev shemesh. You, the person who's a tefil yoyim, should do the avoida. The tzedakim, who don't learn Torah Shabbat Peh, they say, but he's a tar. He has to be purely tahar. V'hoitzi meliban shal tzedakim shal yoyimrim b'merevah shemesh haisenasis. They argue that the paraduma was done with a person who's purely tahar. We, who want to show that we don't agree with them, make the person a tefil yoyim. So says the Gemara, let's think about it. This person had Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, as Rav Chiya Yosef said, in the Azara. Comes out of the Azara, we make him Tamei. doesn't have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim over. Obviously, Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that's interrupted with Tumah is not affected. Shma mina, loy paslaba. That it doesn't affect it. Now, before we go further, there's a number of very interesting points to discuss. There's a big machloikas rishonim. The Gemara here says, the Mishnah says, in Masech the Para, that the Kayin who did the avoided the Paraduma, we deliberately made him tummy. Taisa says, however, what type of a tumma? A tumma de rabbanon. Tumma de rabbanon, what is the classic example? We know that everybody who doesn't really watch himself, midrabbanon is considered tummy, our yudayim shniyasein, and that's why we have to do natilas yudayim, we put our hands on that kayin. Many rishonim disagree with Taisus. And there are two reasons that disagree with Taisus. One is the obvious reason. What are we doing this for? The tzedakim feel he may not be tamei, and we want to show that he may be tamei. But we're only metamim with a tumah derabbanan, the tzedakim don't hold that that's a tumah. So we accomplished nothing. So that's why most rishonim say we're metamim with a tumah deraisa. The other reason is our Gemara. Because what's our Gemara trying to say at this point? That what's the raya that Tuma doesn't affect the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, the Kohen doing the avoided by the Paraduma. But if that Kohen is only Tamei Midrabanan, how do we have a raya? What is the halacha if he's Tamei Midaraisa, if it affects the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? The fact that Al Gemara is using this case as a raya to the Shaila of Tuma and Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, it's a raya that's a Tuma Daraisa. How do we defend Taisus? How do the Achroinim defend Taisus? They say beautiful pshat. And it's all connected to what we've been learning all day. What is the vart of Tumah? It's not the Tumah. It's the Hesach Das. Hesach Das, yeah, by Tumah Derabbanan and Tumah Deraisa, the same way. And therefore the Gemara's Raya is a Geshmak Raya, because even if it's only Tumah Derabbanan, Hesach Das you have, it's a Raya that Hesach Das of Tumah doesn't affect the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. One observation. Another interesting point. Throughout Shas, I would almost say every daf in Shas. What's every daf of Shas? Different Rabbonans. Where the Rabbonans make different Gedorim and Siyogim, different rules to be Machmer, to protect the Torah. So let's think about it. Yes, the Torah says, V'hizah Torah al-Tameh, that somebody with full Yoim is allowed to be the Kohen that does the Hazor of the Paraduma. Mixture, ashes and mayim chayim. But the Torah doesn't require that he be such a person. You're allowed to use such an individual. So ask the Mefarshim, let's think about it. Wouldn't it make sense that Chazal should say that yes, a tful yoim may do it, but there are enough kahanim who are purely tar, that we should use a purely tar kayin, rather than taking this kayin and deliberately making him tamei, and the way we just said, tumah deraisa. So I saw a beautiful vart, an incredibly important vart. What's happening here? Yes, Chazal throughout Shas make Gedorim and Siyogim. But here we have a fundamental debate between us and the Tzedakim. So now Chazal have a challenge. They have a balance to look at. On one hand, maybe they should make a Gedor like they do throughout. Or maybe they should protect the Masorah. The Tzedakim don't believe in our Masorah. And we believe that, as we explained, that he's our Torah Tamei, we have a Messiah that it's full Yoimei. Say to Mefarshim, look at what Chazal did. They were more concerned with the Messiah of Torah than they were concerned with Chumras. And that's why here they felt it's important to use it full Yoim to protect our Messiah versus making a gather use a purely Torah Kayim. One more interesting point. Naim al-Melech. Naim al-Melech, it's just a safe in the Naim al-Melech. It's a hard safer. Sometimes you can find a verse from the Naim al-Melech to repeat. Naim al-Melech says, why? Why? Why does the Torah say that you could use a tefil yoyim? Wouldn't it make sense to use a purely tahar kayin for the avoid of the paraduma to find a tefil yoyim, somebody who's partially tamei? So he explains. There's a tremendous lesson to learn here. He says, the lesson to learn here is that becoming tahar is not always easy. You know, a person becomes tamei, and he thinks, they'll spritz on him a little water, and he's fine, and he's back in business. So the Torah shows us, even when you're ready tahar, you become a tefil yoyim. You're not purely tahar. It doesn't go that easy. And with that he explains, again, We know it's a chayk, but this is a pidrush. He says, one of the most difficult halachas to understand in Paraduma, Rashi says it's a difficult halacha, is that a Paraduma is metar tmeim, and it's metamet tahirim. Impossible to understand. If it's metar tmeim, how could it be metamet tahirim? The answer is that that's the lesson. You're tar, you're gevaldig. You should know it's not so perfect. Even if you're tar, you're going to become tamei. But the Torah says there are ups and downs in life. You're tar, you're tamei, and then you're tar again. And the lesson is, the life doesn't go straight, but there's always the opportunity to become tar again. L'nyoneinu. So, don't we have a raya that becoming tamei doesn't affect the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim? Says the Gemara, Tomashani, Par, Hoyal T'fo Yoyim Le'Pasulei. This whole halacha of Tuma by Par Adum is different than everywhere else. And that's why we can't use it a raya for any other question. Ask the Gemara, if we're arguing now that Tuma infects the Kaddish Adayim Reglayim, so why bother doing it? Ihachalamli the Makadish. Why bother doing it if the Tuma is going to adversely affect it? Answers the Gemara. We want to do it as similarly as possible to Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim by all other avoiders, and that's why Chazal said to do it, even though he's going to become tummy afterwards. But we don't have a raya. We don't have a raya what tummy does to Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. And as the Brisker Rav explains this Gemara, he explains as follows. We've seen this many times. Parah is a very interesting concept. Parah Adum is a very interesting concept in Halacha. On one hand, we find that Chazal, the Torah, call paraduma chatas. So it's treated like a carbon. On the other hand, we find paraduma is called kachibedek abayis. It's a carbon that's not brought in the Azor, it's brought in Haram Zaysim. So says the Brisker Rav, what the Gemara is saying is, when the Gemara speaks here about the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim and the Tumah of paraduma, don't view it as a regular carbon and use it as a model. What will be the halacha by all carbonis? You look at it from its perspective as being kachi by the kabayis, not a regular carbon. So the Gemara doesn't have an answer to this question. What is the halacha of a kohen did kiddush yadayim reglayim and then became tamei, what it does to it? Continues the Gemara with another question. Ibai lehu. Ma'al kaddish yodav ragla bekir. The Rishonim debate, what is the proper way of doing kiddush yadayim reglayim? Some explain that the Kiyur had faucets, and you had to turn on those faucets and put your hands under the Kiyur and had to put his hands under the faucet. Others explain that it was more like the way we wash our hands, where water went into a washing cup, and they washed their hands with the cup. But the Gemara asked, what's the halacha if somebody just dipped his hands into the Kiyur? Mimenu amrachmana. Does the Torah say mimenu v'loy b'taychay? Just by sticking your hands into the kiyur won't be good enough. I do mafil b'taychay. Even sticking your hand in is adequate. Om Rav Nachman v'yitzchak. Toshma. Also from a brisa that we learned in the previous year. Toshma, the brisa said, Oisha tova b'mei mara, if a kohen put his hands into the mikvah, v'ovet avadosoy psula. Just by putting your hand and the feet into a mikvah won't be good enough. What is the diyuk? Hamei kir, if the kohen put his hands and feet into the kir, dumi de meimara, as he would when he put it into the mikvah, did halacha would be presumably vavan avodasa kshera. So we have a raya that putting your hands into the kir is good enough. Says meraloi meimara itzrichalei. That's not the way to understand the brisa, because the chiddush of the brisa says the gemara as follows: shloi taimer, since one can make an argument, kol gufoi tayo behen. Since a mikveh usually is very powerful, a person whose tamei goes into the mikveh and becomes tahor. Therefore, we could argue, yod v'ragl v'loy koshkein, just sticking your hand and feet into the mikveh should be also equal to doing kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. That's why the Brisa says that it's not. But, what will be if you, that won't work if you just put your hands and feet into the mikveh. But what will be the halacha if you put your hands and feet into the kiyur? We don't know. So here we already have the second shaila. We're about to start a new sugya that the Gemara leaves open with no answer. So the Rambam, and this is what the Mefarshim explained, the Rambam says, d'lechatchila, if a kohen became tamei after kiddush yadayim reglayim, where Kayin was only Mekadesh Yadayim Reglayim by putting his hands and feet into the Kir, he should do it over again, properly. However, says the Rambam, let's say he didn't, and the Kayin brought a carbon without doing Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim over, he shouldn't bring another carbon. Why? Because we don't know what the halach is. And perhaps the first Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim is a valid Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, and if you'll bring a second carbon, it'll be Chulin Bazara. And therefore, L'chatchila do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim over, but if you didn't, if the Kayin didn't, and he brought a carbon, we're going to have to leave it the way it is. Very interesting discussion in the Rishonim, based on this Gemara. The Gemara here discusses the Kayin who put his hands into the Kir. Is it going to work for Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim? And as we just said, the Gemara doesn't answer the question. Quotes Taisus of Bahag, Bahag is a Rishon, that when it comes to Netilas Yadayim, washing our hands before we eat, for that, it's certainly good enough. And therefore, one could be Mekayim Netilas Yadayim just by putting his hands into a body of water. Many Rishonim disagree with the Bahag for two reasons. The Ritva argues that why is the Bahag assuming that the halachas of Netilas Yadayim and the halachas of Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim are different? They may be identical. And therefore, just like the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, our Gemara is suggesting that just putting your hands in is not good enough, for Netilas Yadayim it won't be either. That's one argument in the Rishonim. Another argument that the Rishonim make is that we know that one of the halachas of Netilas Yadayim is that you need Koyach Gavra. It has to be done that the water came because you caused the water to come on your hand. If you put your hands into a body of water, you didn't cause the water to come on your hand. So lahaloch lamaisa. The Paiskim clearly indicate, we discussed yesterday, Negovasar, that when it comes to Negovasar, you're washing the hands in the morning, certainly this wouldn't be good enough. Because as we said yesterday, in the name of Rishonim, one of the reasons we wash in the morning is to take off the Ruach Ra. The Rishonim say that the Ruach Ra only comes by pouring the water on your hand, not dipping your hand into the water. But what about washing for eating? So Shulchan Aruch, the first opinion that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that you're supposed to wash, like we know you're supposed to wash, by pouring the water on your hand. But then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Bahag, that if you have no water available, and that's the only water available to you, so you have the Bahag, where you could put your hands into the water. The Mishnah Brura, the Chaya Adam, are very dissatisfied with this Bahag. Very dissatisfied. And they consider it a strong, and based on the discussion we just had, we could understand why, as a very, very strong B'dievet. Certainly, one should not make a bracha of Al Natilas Yadayim, if that's the way he wants to wash his hands before eating. And Bechlal, you know, if you could do without the bread, if that's the only way you're going to be able to wash your hand, it's a big B'dievet. Continues the Gemara. Amr Rav Chiba Yosef, Meikia Nifsol Matirim Kamatirim, La'evrim Ka'evrim. We know that there are many avoiders that may only avoid this on the Mizbeach that may only be done by day. If we had to categorize them under a title, the Gemara calls them Matirim. What does Matirim mean? Those are avoiders that make the carbon mutter. The best example would be Zrikas Adam. Zrikas Adam makes the carbon whole. It makes the carbon now that we could eat the carbon. It affects the kapara. All of those avoiders of matirim must be done by day. Then there are some avoiders that could be done by night. Again, if we had to categorize them, they would be called evarim. Because as we've learned many times already, that Taurus evarim were done by night. Says Rav Chisda, tremendous Kiddush. Rav Chisda says that Kiddush that we speak about in the previous shurim, and we're going to come back to that sugya now, about a Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim expiring. So Rav Chisda makes the following argument. He said, Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim to do an avoida of matirim expires by shkia, because you can't do those avoidas anymore. The Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim for Avrim expires by Ramur HaShachar. Because Amur HaShachar, you can no longer do Hektaris Avram. So there are two different Zmanim that the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim expire. For Matirim, it expires by the Shkia. And for Avram, it expires in the morning. About a Moreh Shachar. There's a gewaldig gevort from the Chazon Ish. Gewaldig gevort from the Chazon Ish. He says like this. When we speak about Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim expiring by Moreh Shachar, going back to what we discussed in our previous year, what's going to be relevant is where is the water of the Kiyar at the moment of a Moreh Shachar? If it's submerged, we discussed it yesterday, we'll discuss it today, you're all right. If it's exposed, Lina comes into effect and becomes Pasul. So there's 1 second, there's one moment that defines the Psul, the moment of a Moreh Shachar. What about for Matirim? The Rav Chisda now was Mechadish, that for Matirim, from night on, it becomes disqualified. Says the Chazon Ish, it won't be the moment of Shkia that's the defining moment. If that water in the Kiyar, even if it was submerged at the moment of Shkia, but any time during the night, they become exposed, even though at Shkia they were submerged, that water would become possible. Chiddush Nifla. And the Chazon Ish explains himself. The Rishonim say the Din. The Chazon Ish explains the Din. He says like this. There's a fundamental difference why Matirim and Avram are different. Matirim, the halach is you're not allowed to do any avoida with the Matirim all night. So every moment of the night is terrible when you think about Matirim. And therefore, if the water is exposed as far as the Matirim is concerned, any moment of the night, that water becomes possible. Avram, it's not that they exposed any moment of the night. That's not true. Avram may be done all night long. There's one moment where it becomes possible, Lina. What's that one moment? A Moreh Shachar. So there's only one moment to look at. What was it? How did that water look at a Moreh Shachar? So besides they were changing, besides they were saying the different rules of expiration, by Avram, by Matirim, it's going to be all night long if any moment the water is exposed, it becomes possible. As far as Avram concerned, you have a much later moment. It's a Moreh Shachar, and it's only one moment. That's Rav Chisda's opinion. Rav Yochanan Amar, that was Rav Chiba Yosef's opinion. Rav Chisda Amar, Afam Matirim, Einav Salam Moreh Shachar. He says Moreh Shachar is the Zman. Why? Because Moreh Shachar is always the Zman as far as Lina concerned, like we find by Avram. Rav Yochanan Amar, Kiyor Kimin Shishoka, Shuv Emaleu. Pasha Pshatna Rav Yochanan, it's not going to be the Pshat that we are left with as we get deeper into the Shir. But Pash Pshat in the Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan holds, as far as all areas of Halacha is concerned, if it has to be submerged all night long. Shkia becomes the moment and it has to be remain submerged all night. Ask the Mefarshim. That's the Havamina, Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Tzadik HaKoyin says you have to understand the Havamina also. So they ask, how could you have such a Havamina? Because we learned in the previous year, and we're going to refer to it again today, that in the middle of the night, the Trumas Hadeshen was done. Whatever moment it is, sometime after Chatzais. So, if the Kohanim are going to come do Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim sometime during the night, ask the Rishonim, how are they going to be able to do it? The moment you take the Kiyar up, it's Pasul Lina. So how will you ever be able to do Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim with Kohanim doing the Trumas Hadeshen during the night, in the Havamina of the Gemara? So I saw three answers in the Rishonim. One answer in the Rishonim is that Dafka used Kohanim that were continuously doing the Avoida. And their Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim of yesterday did not become expired. In other words, what we'll have to do is choose such Kohanim, let's say the Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim is being done tonight, people who did Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim today in the morning and were continuously doing the Avoida all day and all night, and therefore their Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim never got expired. One teretz. A second teretz that I saw is that even though we're discussing, we really discuss both of these rules in today's shir. Typically, Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim is done from the Kiyar. But we also learned, the Braisa said it, that you could do Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim from a Kli Sharis. When we speak about water getting possible Belina, it's only water in the Kiyar. But if you're doing Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim out of a Kli Sharis, then there's no issue of expiration of Lina. So they did Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim out of a Kli Sharis, not out of the Kiyar. Second teretz. A third teretz is a fundamental teretz. It's a Chiddush, but it's a fundamental teretz. Yes, we're learning that Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim, we're learning that the water becomes possible Lina. But when Chazal make a Gzeira, they only make a Gzeira in a way that it can make sense. So Chazal were concerned about the water in the kir getting pasul. They felt that the din of lina should apply to that water. But they also knew you have to do trumas hadeshin. So as far as the trumas hadeshin is concerned, Chazal never made the gzeir that should become pasul. So even if you'll pick up the kir and take out the water, and we just said that, at least at this point of the Gemara, that would make the water pasul, not for trumas hadeshin. For the trumas hadeshin, Chazal never made the gzeir, because they knew otherwise you'll never be able to do trumas hadeshin. They don't make gzeiras that don't make sense. And in fact, if you recall in a shir a couple of days ago, I quoted a Michas Lazar. Michas Lazar asked the question, the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim is done by touching the feet, but once you touch the feet, you don't want to touch your feet. So I said a number of terutzim. They used this terutz that I just said to answer. Yes, Chazal made a gzeira that if you touch your feet, you have to wash your hands. But Chazal also knew you have to do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, that the Kohen has to do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. Given that they knew you have to do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, under those circumstances, they never said there's a rule that if you touch your feet, you have to wash hands. Because Chazal are not going to make rules that are impossible to fulfill. So again, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kivin Shishaka, Shuv Eimaleu. Lememra. So the way we're understanding Rabbi Yochanan, as we just said, the Levoy Desnami Laila Nami Loichazi. You can't do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim at all. Frek, asked the Gemara, Vamar Avasi, Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Mishmei Deilfa. We learned in the previous year, Ilfa teaching us, Kiyush lo shakam ba'erev, and the Kiyah wasn't submerged. By night, by Shkia, Mekadosh menu, la'avoid this laila. You could be Mekadosh with it all night long, for avoidance that are done for the night. La, mach ena Mekadosh. My ena malay the kama, la'avoid this shayim. The means that you can't use it for the avoidance that will be done by day. Aval doesn't, isn't Ilfa. Saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Avla Avoidus Laila Chazi, asked the Gemara, so therefore we must say that Rabbi Yochanan is agreeing that it only becomes possible for Avoidus of for Maitirim, not for Avram. Asked the Gemara, but if that's the way we're now going to explain Rabbi Yochanan, Ihochan Rabbi Chiba Yosef. That's exactly what Rabbi Chiba Yosef said. So where's the three opinions? Where's the argument? Answers the Gemara, Ike benayu gzeru shikua. The nafkamina will be as follows. According to Rabbi Yochanan, all water should be submerged all night long. Why? Because if we're not going to submerge the water all night long, there's a real concern that by a mudah shach, when you need it submerged, you're not going to have it. So in order to avoid that, Chazal said, Rabbi Yochanan says, have it submerged all night. Rav Chisda, Rabbi Chiba Yosef are not concerned for that. Ask the Gemara, Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Kiddush Yadav L'Trumas Hadeshin. If somebody did, again the Gemara we learned yesterday, if somebody did Kiddush Yadayim for Trumas Hadeshin, L'Mocher, Ein Tzarech L'Kaddish, the next day he doesn't have to do Kiddush again, Shereka Kiddush Metchilas Avoida. Because he already did Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim before the Trumas Hadeshin. Says the Gemara, if you recall, when we learned this Gemara in our previous year, we had a machloikis, Rav and Abaya. How do we understand this statement that Rabbi Yochanan made? Rav said that this statement was going contra Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So Bishlam Rabbi Elazar, the Mokam Lahuk Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that said that Rabbi Yochanan made that statement according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So that was indeed according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. There's no problem that the water is not submerged, that the water didn't become possible. And today's statement, the Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it has to be submerged by a Mudah Shachar, otherwise it becomes Pasul, will be following the opinion of Rebbe. So it's not a problem. Yesterday he made a statement according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and today he's making a statement according to Rebbe. However, says the Gemara, El Abai the Mokam Leik Rebbe, that explained yesterday that this statement Rabbi Yochanan made was even according to Rebbe. And the way Abai explained it, just to review, is that even though Rebbe holds that Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim of every day expires, given that Trumas Hadeshin was done so soon to the new day, therefore says Abaya in explaining Rebbe, in explaining Rabbi Yochanan according to Rebbe, that you could do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim and therefore it'll be good for the rest of the day and you don't have to repeat it. Why? We're saying now according to Rabbi Yochanan, once a Mudah Shachar comes, it becomes expired. I will argue I'll argue that Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell you you have to do it again. He should have said so. He never said that you have to do it again. Kash the Rebbe, the Rebbe. Maishna hasam the Meshakale. Or Maishna hacha the Lord Meshakale. Why over here we're learning that you have to submerge it, and why here are we not learning it? Answer the Gemara, the Mesalakle v'ad Meshakale. That's the way to understand that indeed it has to be resubmerged immediately. Why? Because it has to be submerged at the moment of Amud HaShachar. Ask the Gemara, we said that the next day you don't have to do Kiddush again. Why? Lememra, are you going to say Lematirim Mechsi Chazi? Are you going to say that it's completely fine if it was done? But isn't that what Rav Chisda said? And says the Gemara, Ikebenai Mitzah Shikua. Both Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree with Rav Chisda. Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree with Rav Chisda that Rabbi Yochanan, that Rav Chisda said that night doesn't passel. Isn't that what Rav Chisda said? That the only moment we have to look at is the moment of Amud HaShachar? And a chanami. Rabbi Yochanan agrees that you only have to look at the moment of Amud HaShachar. But if they both agree, what's the nafkamina? Says the Mara, the nafkamina is there a mitzvah for it to be submerged all night? Rabbi Yochanan holds, even though Amud HaShachar is the defining moment, have it submerged all night? Rav Chisda says there's no reason to do that. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a Mishnah, in Masechta Tamid, Lohayu Roinai Soi, Velohayu Shaymanai Skailai, the Kayan who approached to do the Trumas Adeshin, nobody saw or heard him, Achit Shaymai Kaila Shalates, until they hear the word, Sha'asa Ben Kutin, we learned yesterday, Ben Kutin made a Mukhni Lakir, he made this pulley system for the Kir, V'hein Oimra Higia Eis Kiddush Adayim Reglayim Min HaKir. Is it when they hear the Kayan who's approaching to do Trumas Adeshin lift up the water from underground, then everybody comes to do Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. My laugh, the Mesalakle, isn't it mean that he's picking it up and keeping it up all day? Now, what's the question? We're saying now that Rabbi Yochanan agrees, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chisda agree, that the defining moment is Amud HaShachar, and it must be submerged at Amud HaShachar. Ask the Gemara, but we're learning now that they picked it up before Amud HaShachar when they did Trumas Adeshin, and presumably they left it up. So it's going to be exposed at the moment of Amud HaShachar. How is that acceptable? Answers the Gemara, Loi, the Meshakalei. They pick it up to do the Trumas, to do Kiddush Adayim Reglayim for Trumas Adeshin, and immediately submerge it and keep it submerged till after the Amud HaShachar. Ask the Gemara, Ida Meshakalei, if what we meet in this Brayis and this Mishnah is that we're submerging it, Mimishtam Mekala. Answer the Gemara, yes. Meshakalei Bilgilgala. The way we hear it is that we hear it when it's submerged. That's the first lashon. Lishnachrina, the Meshakalei Bechumersei, Kidei the Lishna Mekalei. That they specifically submerged it in a way that it should be heard, that should cause the Kohanim to wake up. So what's the difference between the Lishna Kam and the Lishna Basra? So the way most Rishonim explain the difference between the Lishna Kam and the Lishna Basra is as follows. The Lishna Kam holds that there's only noise when it's submerged, but not when it's lifted up. The Lishna Basra holds that both when the kir is lifted up from underground is there noise, and there's also noise when it's submerged again. But ask the Gemara, so we submerge it, and that's what causes the Kohanim to wake up. Ask the Gemara, why do we need to go through that process to cause the Kohanim to wake up? There was a special person who was appointed to wake up the people in the Beis HaMikdash. So they should wake up based on him. Answers the Gemara, Beitrei Hakera have the Avdei. They are two wakers. They are two alarm clocks. The Sham Mahayasi, the Sham Mahayasi. Some people need two alarm clocks in the morning. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Some people were able to wake up based on the submerging of the kier, and some people woke up because Gvini Cruz making the announcement. Actually, I saw a very interesting tshuva. There are different menhagim during the Sfira. We know you're supposed to count the Sfira at night after Ma'ariv. But there are different menhagim that people have that they do to remember the Sfira. No less than three menhagim I've seen. One minig is that in many shuls, the minig is that some point during Shachris, typically towards the end of Shachris, somebody says Hayoim, whatever day of the Omer is. Another minig, and this is a common minig, also in shuls and in some people's homes, they have a poster with the today's day of the Omer. A third minig, which we don't really see that much, is that they used to say a specific parak of Tehillim. Actually, the parak that they used to say was Lam Natzeit Min Ginois. In Nusach Sfar, it became part of everyday Pesukah de Zimra. But the minig was, maybe in Nusach Ashkenaz, that they don't say it every day, that they started saying it every day during Shachris to remember that today is the Sfiras Omer. So the Paiskim discuss, is there a point of doing multiple menhagim? The point of all these menhagim is to remember, in case somebody Chas V'Shalom forgot to count the Sfira at night, if he counts it by day, even though you can't make a bracha, at least you'll be able to continue with at night, with that next night with a bracha. So is there a point in doing multiple menhagim? And the Paiskim say, based on this Gemara, absolutely. Just like we see it every day, we had to wake up the Kahanim, and the Kahanim is Rizamein, but the Gemara says that they did different number of methods to make sure that they woke up in the morning. Similarly, we should try number of menhagim to make sure that everybody counts the sphere every day.